let's put the phones on hold for a minute, and let's have somebody who can barely read a book talk to somebody that's written many of them. Dennis Lehane joins us here on the Spano and Black Attack. Dennis, really great to have you aboard.
And
it's our pleasure. Let's talk about the newest from the pen of Dennis Lehane, and that's World Gone By. Talk to us about this latest tome of yours.
World Gone By is a book where the central character, Joe Coughlin, is a semi-retired gangster. He's a consigliere for the Tampa mob in the World War II era, and he is kind of a fixer and a bridge between the mob and polite society. And he's also a widower with a 10-year-old son, and he hears a whisper that somebody is planning to assassinate him, and this book is really about the week in which he tries to track that whisper down.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, I'm going to assume this is a gritty book, in that a lot of times when we watch mafia life portrayed on the big or small screen, yeah, the movies can be gritty, but there's a certain romantic aspect to mafia life that really doesn't exist in real mafia life. And I'm wondering how you were able to portray that in this book.
Well, what you want to get is there's a difference between what's romantic and what's sexy. And I think that's what gets confused. What Goodfellas captured was, hey, this is pretty sexy. This is pretty exciting. There's an adrenaline rush to this. But there's nothing romantic about it. At the end of the day, if you make a mistake or if you're costing somebody money, they will clip you. And that's the world that Joe lives in. So, yes, it's very exciting for him. And he gets a lot of the things that we would think would be great to have in our lives. But at the same time, he's in a world that is beginning. There's a power shift going on behind him. He can feel it, but he can't necessarily see it. And the ground is shifting. And so that's the world he finds him in. And this is a world of extreme consequence. And there, as one character says, in our business, nobody gets fired.
No, it's exactly right. You spend your entire life looking over your shoulder. And it's obviously an interesting exchange that's made in life. You've made a conscious effort that you don't want to get up and go to work. And they say it somewhere in one of the movies, you know, work is for suckers. You know, so you decide you don't want to get up and go to work, so you become a gangster, for lack of a better word, and, you know, you do the things that gangsters do, and in exchange for that, you spend your entire life looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, certainly. There's a moment in the book where he thinks about the life they lead, and he says, we always say we don't involve families, but we sure amputate a lot of them. And it's that idea that, you know, they create a lot of widows in this world. They create a lot of orphans.
You know, and I think as a result of this discussion, I can already tell that you've done a great job with World Gone By of spotlighting exactly what mafia life is and what this guy's unique challenges are going to be. Kind of rolling it forward. You know, you've written a lot of books. You've written some screenplays. And you've had many of your books adapted into screenplays. Talk about the difference between writing a book, you know, beginning is the beginning, the end is at the end, and say writing a screenplay. What are the unique challenges of each, and how difficult is one in comparison to the other?
Oh, you know, I would say categorically that books are way harder to write for me. I'm not saying I don't know about other writers, but for me, I find books to be much more difficult. But then simultaneously, they're much more satisfying at the end of the day, because when you write a book, when you finish it, you work it out with your editor, and then it's done. Then it goes to a printing press. Then it gets made. When you write a screenplay, you write it, and yes, it's easier, but then you hand it over, and then you usually go back and you do several drafts and several polishes, and then when they're completely satisfied that they have what they're looking for, they turn around and they hand it to somebody else to do it again. It's a very bizarre world. And so, you know, one is easier, without a doubt, because here's a perfect example. One of the things that I find the most difficult to do is what's known as painting a scene. So when I'm taking you into a room, or I'm taking you onto a boat, or I'm showing you that to me is the hardest part of writing. I could spend 2 weeks just on bringing you into a room. And when, in a screenplay, all you write is interior, ballroom, day. You're done. You don't
and
have
somebody
to decide.
Else desi- somebody and somebody else. Else, a set designer, decides what the room's going to look like.
Exactly, exactly. You give little hint. You give quick shorthand. You know what I mean? Lots of people in bow ties, and you move on. So that cuts a lot of time off, and makes it much easier again to write a screenplay, but it's far less satisfying.
I would think that would be the case, just as now you've discussed it here. I would say that a book is your vision from beginning to end of the story you want to tell. The screenplay sounds like it has an awful lot of other hands in it. And by the time you see said finished product, you may be like, well, this isn't quite the story I was trying to tell, because there were an awful lot of red pens that went through this, and now it looks like a completely different story.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's there's an old line. When you're a novelist, you're God. When you're a screenwriter, you're God's tailor.
That's a great old line. I mean, and it really does tell the difference, and you can understand why, as an author, you'd be so much more satisfied with, in many ways, writing books than you would with screenplays. Now let's kind of split the difference here a little bit. You've also had books of yours turned into screenplays.
Yep.
And obviously there's a financial reward there. Is there a level of dissatisfaction because they've taken your book and turned it into something, well, completely different than what you actually wrote?
No, because that has never happened to me yet. Nobody's turned it into something completely different. In every case with the adaptations of the three books that I've seen go to the screen, they have absolutely 100% got the spirit of the book. They know what the book was trying to say, and that ends up on the screen in every single case. And in every single case, the studios fought the directors and the producers and the writers to change the endings. And in every single case, they didn't. And so, you know, Clint Eastwood, they cut his budget in half for Mystic River. And he said, that's all right. I'll go get the money someplace else. And he got the rest of his money from someplace else. And with Ben Affleck, they said, we'd give you a bigger budget on Gone Baby Gone if you would change the ending. And he said, nope, I'm okay. And that was a first-time director saying that. And and then with Martin Scorsese, they just said, well, all right, Marty, do whatever you want, you're Scorsese. But so that's been the case. And so I've been very lucky. I've been very blessed. I don't have a complaint in the world about my adaptations.
And you know, the great thing is you had great, successful Hollywood people standing behind you, from Ben Affleck to Clint to DiCaprio to Marty Scorsese. So that helps a lot, because I hate to say it, and I'll choose my words carefully, the studios kind of look like the big bad wolf a lot of times. They count beans, make sure that you get as few of them as they possibly can give you, and at the same time, get in the way of the creative process, not necessarily to the positive.
Well, the thing is, you know, you don't want the lunatics running the asylum like us. You don't, you know, we shouldn't be in charge of the beans. What should happen in the best possible relationship is that commerce should understand what art is doing up to a point, and art should understand what commerce is doing up to a point. And if you both reach the same point, then that's a great collaboration. But if commerce believes they're more important than art, or art believes they're more important than commerce, that's when you get a problem.
Okay. And how does it usually end up working out? Does
commerce win? How does it usually end up working in the real world? Commerce wins.
Commerce wins.
You know?
Commerce wins.
Yeah.
Which is a detriment to art, unfortunately, because commerce knows beans and knows dollars and cents, and sometimes they have this misguided notion that they know more about art than artists.
Yeah, or they're just trying to hit the largest target to get their investment back. And so the bigger your budget, the more you run into that problem. So, for example, I had a film, the only film that so far that I've written directly for the screen that was produced, called The Drop, with Tom Hardy and James Gandolfini. And everybody involved in that knew that we were not making a film that was going to make $100 million. Everybody involved. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up making a really wonderful film that we're all proud of, that broke even. Nobody got hurt. Nobody turned into a billionaire over it. That is a very nice way to make a movie. Gone Baby Gone was a similar experience. But once you get north of, say, $40 million in a budget, then everything starts getting a little crazy, because commerce starts really worrying about its return on investment.
And I understand where they're coming from, but also, you know, in having talked to many actors and directors and writers like yourself, I've heard of the nightmare that commerce can be in these regards, from the creative process to the trying to actually get paid unless you get your money up front. You know, they do some creative accounting to make sure that back end, no matter how much that film makes, never makes any money.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah,
yeah. I'm always fascinated by the accounting. You'll write, you know, you'll write a screenplay that'll make X number of millions of dollars. We didn't make any money on this. How'd you not make any money on this? It's impossible. And yet they find a way to do it.
It's an interesting set of accounting laws. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Well, Dennis, this has been truly a pleasure.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
You know, you've given us, to me, some incredible insight into the creative process, and that's what we really love to do, because when you get creative people on, you want to give some insight into the creative process. One more time, the latest tome, tell us about it real quick before we get you out the door. We want to keep you on schedule.
It's just called World Gone By, and it is about a mafia consigliere at a moment in which all of the ground may be shifting beneath him.
Dennis, well said. This was truly a pleasure. Anytime you want to come back on, you're more than welcome. But one quickie before we get you out the door. Do you happen to be a big sports fan? And if so, who are you picking to win the tournament?
I'm actually NFL and MLB.
Okay, really, so you must be happy with your Patriots.
I'm very happy with my Patriots, although I'm a little bummed out about Revis and Will Fork. But we'll see. I'd like Browner back, too. Where do you think DeMarco's going to go?
Where I think DeMarco's going to go? I think the market's wide open. And I think I can tell you one thing. Don't know where he's going yet because the market got so soft on him. I know he's not going to get anywhere near the $8 million a year that he thinks he's going to get. He's going to end up getting about $5 million a year, and he's going to be working with a major chip on his shoulder wherever he goes.
That ought to be interesting.
It sure will. Root for your Northeastern Huskies in the NCAA tournament. They made it. They're from Boston. First trip there since 1991. It'll be fun to hang on to during the round of 64. Thanks,
okay.
Dennis. This was truly a pleasure, man.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
You got it. Bye-bye now.